This is A Lost Plot, the podcast where we explore meaning in movies together. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It's your boy with another episode of A Lost Plot. I'm your host, as you all know, Maverick, here with our guest back once again. We love to see him. Welcome back, Avalon.
Hello, hola, konnichiwa, and leho.
Now, today, we are reviewing the recent release from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It is, you want to guess, The Marvels. 2023 superhero film screenplay was written by Nia DaCosta, Megan McDonald, and Alyssa Karasik. I hope that's how you say their names. And then directed by Nia DaCosta. It stars Brie Larson as, once again, playing Carol Danvers, a.k.a. Captain Marvel. You've got Tayona Paris as Monica Rambeau. Iman Vellani as Kamala Khan, a.k.a. Miss Marvel. And Zaw Ashton as Superior Darben. So, and there's more, but, you know, those are the main four. Anyways, Avalon, you want to tell us what The Marvels is about, and then we can get on to this rating.
So The Marvels takes place after the movie Captain Marvel. I guess Captain Marvel took place in the past. This one takes place like roughly modern day era. Like, so that some time has passed since the first Captain Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. It focuses on Captain Marvel. She's hunting down some, Kree elements, more or less, or some kind of terrorist elements at the beginning of the movie. And at the same time, it's also focusing on Kamala Khan, who's like this teenager in the New Jersey suburbs, who's like just going through her everyday life and going to school, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then you have Monica Rambeau and Nick Fury up in the space station above Earth in the Saber station, and they're analyzing some weird energy coming off of the travel, what do they call it? The travel holes,
the wormholes. Yeah, that's pretty much the sum of the beginning of the movie. So the overall, what did you give this movie?
I gave it a 5.7.
Interesting. So I gave this movie a 0.6.
Wow.
So this is the lowest I think I have ever rated a movie.
I'm curious how you got that low. Okay, so
this is gonna be so exciting.
Okay, though I will. Though also, I think another thing that may change our opinion a little bit, just so viewers know. Obviously, we've both seen Captain Marvel because we've already done the Captain Marvel review,
right? Which we were pretty close on when we reviewed that.
So, but this movie is not just a sequel to Captain Marvel. It's also a sequel to the WandaVision Disney Plus show and a sequel to the Miss Marvel show on Disney Plus. It might also be a sequel to the Secret Invasion show on Disney Plus, but I don't know that. I haven't actually seen Secret Invasion, so I don't know. But,
sure.
But yeah, there's actually more than one, like, so there, if you hadn't seen everything, I think some of the things I enjoyed in this movie possibly came because of I enjoyed them because I'd seen some of Miss Marvel.
Okay,
like some of it was like, okay, I actually like followed from that show more or less.
Sure. And I will say that sometimes, especially with the Marvel thing, it is they somewhat rely on this broader cinematic universe to play into some level of understanding for the movies that you're watching. Right. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a degree at which that's acceptable, and maybe we'll get into that today, but there comes a point where the movie does also have to stand on its own. So anyways, for the opener, was the opening scene one that you really enjoyed, that really caught your attention and made you like, oh, I want to keep watching this movie? And maybe describe that opener just so everyone is on the same page with that.
Okay. So the movie kind of opens up with this like alien like dead planet, more or less, or it's like a moon of sorts, and you have the villain, which what's her name?
It was Darben, Superior Darben. Darben. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Darben. Yeah, and who is a Kree?
Look it up.
Like,
I wouldn't know either.
I mean, to be fair, like I used to be a big fan of the Marvel comics, and I have no idea who Darben is. Like, it's just like someone pulled clearly from somewhere, but I don't know where. Mm-hmm. It's just like, okay. but yeah. She's like a, what do you call it? Like almost like a nationalist for the Kree. Like almost like she's this, like almost like a patriotic Kree character who's like she's trying to save her home world more or less. And she is on this alien planet with some of the accused warriors. I forgot what they're called, but they used to follow Ronan the Accused, but now they follow her. They find this band, this amulet, which she puts on, and there's supposed to be two, but she doesn't know what the second one is. And that's where the movie kind of starts off, where it's like she's hunting through this rubble, like she's looking for something. She finds one of what she's looking for, but she can't find the second one. So, and that's how the movie relatively opens.
That's pretty good. So what did you think of that opener?
I will say I was slightly intrigued by how they started that opening scene off. I was slightly intrigued. It was kind of boring, but it was also slightly intriguing. Like, there's this, like, just a little bit like, okay, what is this? Like, you're almost like, what's going on? But it wasn't like, because it's like a very odd setup, I guess, where it's like, it's an alien, it's like the moon. You find, like, people digging on the moon, they pull out an ancient artifact, they crush it, and they pull something like
from the rubble,
bracelet out of the rubble. And it's like, okay, that's very odd. And it's like such an odd like thing, you don't put all those things together. It was just like, okay, what is this? Like, what is going on here? So yeah. Like, I was intrigued a little bit by that, because this is the combination of elements present. But other than that, I didn't give it very many points for this, even regarding that. So it was just like, okay, it was fairly boring, substandard for the most part. The only reason I gave it points was because it was like slightly intriguing.
Yeah, so I thought that I gave it a little bit for this. I didn't give it full points for this, but I would say I generally agree. I did personally, this was the start of what I saw later on in the movie with some very stereotypical dialogue of, oh, we have to get this bad, like, we have to get this thing, oh, we are going to do this terrible action. You know, this is a very overdramatic type of dialogue going on back and forth between characters, and this was just the start of it. And I think that took away a little bit from it, because I felt that right off the bat, I didn't think that was a good sign for the movie. And I don't take notes during movies, and so for me, it's like, if it can draw me in, then it's doing really well. And usually I'm going to forget false at the beginning. But because I think that was a problem that continued to show itself later on in the movie, that stuck out at the beginning as, oh, you guys really are like pulling me out of the movie by being a 13-year-old child, you know, in their, just figuring out life. Like, no, you're adults. Anyways, but yeah, it's throw out points. It was fine. That was not a big issue with the movie. Anyways, the main character. What did you think of the main character?
This is the one part of the movie where the format of the movie was going to be weird. Because I was writing my notes down for this after the movie, and I was like, wait a minute. Because it's technically, you could have one main character or three, based on how you see this movie. Because you could arguably say Captain Marvel is the main character, but so much screen time is given to Kamala Khan, Ms. Marvel, and to Monica Rambeau, it's almost like they're also main characters too. And it's almost like the way the movie plays, it's like almost like it's it's intentional, where it's like, okay, there's kind of three main characters to this movie. There's not just one. So I had a hard time, like, so when I was evaluating the points on them, I had to like think about each of them individually, just like, okay. But
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think my perspective on this is also a little bit skewed, because obviously Ms. Marvel has had time to develop Kamala Khan and give her a little bit more of a personality and character, so you understood who she was, why she acted the way she did, and like you kind of got a fuller picture of her through the show, so it was almost like just an extension of that.
Right.
And then you had, and Monica Rambeau also was in WandaVision, so I guess she kind of had some character development too. And so I guess the only one who really had like no character development between what, very little. I don't know. Like, she's only been in the movies, Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers. So I guess her character this time around, like compared to the first one, I felt like maybe there was a little bit more character development to her this time around than this first time.
And interesting.
Because in this time around, she almost has this like...
Okay, I think, yeah, I think you're right. I think we can still have a discussion about that when we get to transformation. But I think you are correct. She does have more character development in this than in the previous one. That's true. I think the point that there are always multiple main characters is an interesting point, especially with these you know, team-up movies or whatever. and I will say it's simpler if you just have one main character.
And it's definitely true, yeah. It's
easier for everyone to know what their motivations are, why they're doing, all of that kind of stuff. I think when it comes to having three main characters, and I would probably make the case that it's two, and that Monica is actually just a side ally because she gets the least screen time as the rest of them. But at the same time, she's actually more, I don't know. I guess you could make it the case that all three are main characters. I don't love the argument, but I get where it comes from. The argument then is that each of them has to be developed uniquely, in that they each have to have their own motivations for why they're in this situation uniquely, why they're involved in the plot, why they're doing all the things that they're doing, et cetera, et cetera. And so you are right. I think you have to go with the argument that it is that all three are main characters. So with that being the case, you have to look at each of them and almost bundle them up as one. Kamala Khan, definitely, I would say, is the most developed character. And she actually is quite well developed. I think that as a character in the movie, she's incredibly compelling. I think that she's really interesting. I think she clearly has her own flaws, but also her own aspirations and things that she wants to go for. And so, in that way, she's a very compelling character. And it's justifiable for how maybe extreme she is in some ways, because she's a kid. She doesn't know what she's doing. You know,
she's a teenager who's just exploring her world and like has all these thoughts and like fantasies and everything.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's understandable to look at her and go, okay, she's, you know, she's going to do silly things and all of that stuff because that's what teenagers do. So she was good. The thing is, in regards to flaws, I once again didn't feel like either, even really Monica or Carol had flaws. As main characters, it was like they had anger at the other people, but it wasn't like, it was almost, I guess you could say that Carol Danvers had flaws and that she went off and just destroyed all of Hera and Kree and just, you know, went to town on them. So,
well, you could say that's not what I was thinking of, but okay. But yeah.
And then feeling guilty about that. Okay, maybe. But I still don't think it's amazing. So that's all I can say. I gave them a little bit, just a slight bit on this because there was three of them. But altogether, I think it's still not ideal.
I agree with you on Monica Rambeau. She doesn't have a whole lot of character development as a character in the movie. Like, she's one of the three, she's the least developed. They did try, like, she does have some irritation and anger at Carol for not coming back sooner. It's never explored why she's completely angry, like, other than that she was, like, it's almost nebulous, like, you weren't there kind of thing. I don't know. Unless she's, like, blaming Carol for the death of her mom, but...
So, and that was somewhat insinuated, but I do agree that probably should have been spelled out more clearly if that was truly the motivation.
Yeah, it, like, So her character, like, they tried to give her some flaw and, like, some interesting development, but it kind of wasn't enough. It was, like, surface level. Like, it wasn't, they didn't dig in deep into the character to bring these out. It was just like, let's write something over her to make her look more developed than she actually is.
Right.
So, yeah. As far as Captain Marvel goes, I think they took the arrogance from the first movie and developed it a little bit more. Where it's like, not exactly arrogance, but it's almost like she thinks she, well, because she knows she's a super powerful being. Mm-hmm. She's like, I can save everyone. I can, like, do the right thing. And there are several times where it's like she's trying in the movie, like, I can save everyone. It's like she mm-hmm. pushes herself to, like, accomplish the, like, to save the people, to save the, whatever, like, the town, the planet, like, to stop the villain. And so, like, this time around, it was more interesting, her conflict, because, like, she had this idea, like, I need to be able to win, like, because I am powerful, like, I am this powerful person, but then she would lose. And it was almost like, and there would be losses and consequences. So, as a result, I was like, okay.
Interesting.
So.
Interesting.
Now, maybe it could have been developed a little bit more, but mm-hmm. I don't, but this time, like, it was something that was kind of already there from the first movie. They kind of played with it a little bit more. I was like, okay, this is an interesting direction to take this. Like, you gave it, made it more of a flaw for her this time around. So
interesting. We'll get to that. Cause that's definitely when it comes to the conflict, that's a good point. Yeah. So the side characters, did you think that they were driven by their own motives and needs?
Yes. Well, this is kind of a repeat of the first movie. Yes and no. Cause like, there's some characters who are and some who aren't.
Okay.
I would say, I mean, obviously Nick Fury is back again, so he's mm-hmm. kind of, I feel like every time Samuel L. Jackson appears, he's generally more developed as a character in whatever role he's in. Like, he gives it.
Interesting.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but, and maybe I'm forgetting some key Marvel movies or something. I don't know. But, like, his character is okay in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Kamala Khan's family, like, they're generally fairly well developed for the most part. I mean, this is also from the show, so obviously, like, I'm seeing this, like, from the lens of someone who's seen some development already, so maybe you would have a different take on that.
Well, no, I think those are good examples, because those are probably the two people, or two groups of people anyways, that have the most involvement with people in the movie, right? You could argue the Kree or whatever, but really they're you know, cardboard cutouts that you put up for a minute before you throw them off the screen. And you're going to have characters who are like that, right? But the characters who are constantly involved in the plot, who maybe don't have as much screen time as the main characters, but still have an effect on the plot, how did they interact? And I think those are the two main groups. Personally, I thought Nick Fury was the least developed in this movie out of any of the movies I've seen him in. In that he was just doing Nick Fury things. And so, you know, I just didn't think that he brought anything unique to the table other than being the leader that told people to do this and do that and all that stuff and getting things done. So he was an instrument in the movie, but I didn't think really added anything to the movie, unfortunately, mm-hmm. other than he liked the cat, George, or whatever they called the cat.
Goose.
Who's not really Goose, who's not really a cat.
An alien creature.
Yeah. What are those called? Lemmings?
No. I think you call them like flurks or something.
Yeah, flurks, whatever. And that's a whole nother thing, which we'll get to in a bit. But man, the flurks had a spot in this movie. And those are not side characters. Those are not. But it might be. Anyways, so him, I thought he wasn't very well developed. The family was a little bit, but still, like, yeah, I like the brother. The brother was cool. He clearly had some development. The mother and father were somewhat developed. They still felt kind of stock parents, but I was like, all right, they're mm-hmm. fine. So once again, another point where I was like, okay, I'll give them a couple points. We'll give them a lot, you know, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So anyways, the setting. Was the setting believable?
This is a very interesting. Well,
so they set this universe, right? Or is the universe set in a way And are the rules of the universe set in a way that makes the movie believable?
So if you talk about the situation between their powers, like every time they use their powers and they teleport, for the most part, that made sense. But there was some weird questions where it's like, what? I mean, you could like start to question it at certain points and start to maybe find plot holes or like, hey, what's the deal here? Like, I think there are times where it's like, for example, when Kamala and Monica changed places the first time, Monica was wearing a spacesuit in the middle of space, and Kamala, like, right, ends up inside the spacesuit. I was like, okay, that's a little odd. Like, what exactly goes with you when you teleport? And right, there's even a time later on where Kamala's wearing her costume, and we next see her, she's wearing normal everyday clothes. Like, supposedly she teleported, though. So, I don't know. There was a part of me that wasn't sure if that was a mistake on the movie maker's part or what.
Yeah, there was some of that for sure. Mm-hmm. My bigger problem was with the wormholes themselves, the jumping portals, in just that and I didn't want to get caught out of the movie, but this was such a huge part of the movie and they kept showing it and trying to explain it that it only got worse as time went on in my mind. Okay, so on a very simple level, what she's doing is breaking portals between worlds and then stealing the resources from one world and putting them in her world, right? Mm-hmm. But then she goes and she uses this bracelet, this amulet, to create this opening. And apparently you need to have both bracelets to close them. Mm-hmm. Which means those ones that she opened are still open for a large part of the movie. And they were sucking in, like, spaceships. They were sucking in dirt and all this crap. Should have been sucking in rocks with the strength of sucking in a spaceship, but whatever. Seems like, and at the end, she's sucking in a sun.
Yeah.
So clearly these are very powerful, and they suck it into universes. Why wasn't one planet sucked into the other planet and collided with it? Was just a basic thing, should have happened. Not sure how that made a lot of sense. Then also just how the bracelet, when you hit it, how she just died and then it didn't actually close the portals and they had the power to close the portals the entire time using Monica's powers, and why was it Monica? I think like the powers design of this movie was one of the most frustrating parts of it for me, because I felt like it made it very hard for me to think this movie made any sense. And I don't even think that the switching spots thing had any issues in my mind. That all was fine. I was like, whatever. You did enough testing and demonstrating it that it could be plausible to make an excuse or an explanation in this way. But the problem with the portals is you set up the rules for the portals in such a way that X leads to Y. Well, if X leads to Y, then why didn't Y happen in every single X circumstance that you demonstrated? So there was that. I also didn't understand why Monica had to be on the other side of the portal at the end of the movie, right? Mm-hmm. Why couldn't she be at the front end and close it up rather than the back end and close it up? Mm-hmm. That didn't make a lot of sense to me. And then third, everything was going to Hera. And I'm jumping a little bit around here, but I'm just demonstrating the different air issues that in my mind was like, this doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And so the last point, which is that Monica went through the portal and is closing it at the very end of the movie, right? And this is, for the audience, the very end, when she seals everything up and stops the portal from killing everyone. That portal was leading the sun from Earth's galaxy to Hera's galaxy.
Not the last one that she closed up. One that happens in the finale. Because they said that one... recap of the finale. So she created that portal where the sun is being sucked away. But like, then there's that big battle, and the villain, I keep blanking her name, Darben. Like, she gets both bracelets, because Kamala Khan had the other one. And so supposedly she suddenly unleashes both of them at a key moment when she's fighting Captain Marvel, and the power that she uses to use them, because it's both of them combined, it doesn't just create a hole through the universe, it breaks a tear in the universe to like an alternate universe. The idea was this is like a different universe, like completely separate from their own. Because Marvel's been playing with the idea of the multiverse for the last few
years. Right, right, right.
So it's like, this is another universe. This is not our universe. So, more or less, the idea is that Monica was sealing the tear between their realities. Like, okay. So, by sealing herself in, she was cutting herself off from her own home reality, I guess, and getting lost in another.
Got it.
But as you said...
The idea is that Hera... was the original location for the sun to be sucked into. And then when those bracelets clashed, that created the tear that suddenly caused this rift in the universe. So if that's the understanding, then the other holes would have been sealed up. It's just that specific one was not. All right. I mean, like that's plausible enough of an explanation. I would be willing to buy that.
So, but however, the movie doesn't explain why she had to be on that side of the portal, the terror and the reality. Exactly. It's like she could have been on her own side and sealed it up. I think it doesn't give a plausible explanation for that.
Right. No, it's just it was creating drama for the sake of creating drama, in my opinion. So, anyways, and to show you that they were trying to integrate the X-Men into the universe. That's what that was for.
Yes.
Enough about that on my side. That's my little rant. I still think that that's a serious problem in my mind for how the logic of the universe worked. But
I didn't actually, for some reason, I didn't even think about that. But you're right. I mean, some of that doesn't make a whole lot of sense as far as like how those portals work. I mean, those portals have been around since what? Guardians of the Galaxy, the very first one. So it's almost like we've never really had a full explanation of how they work or what happens since they've been conceived or the idea put in front of us. So I guess there's like a whole lot of mystery surrounding them, and then they start using them for the plot device in this movie, and it's like okay, we don't even actually know how they work to begin with, so there's some, maybe we need some explanations here.
And I almost felt like they tried to do it a little bit, but it almost made the situation worse. You know, kind of like it in Endgame, at least they had the time travel thing and they tried to explain it and they go, okay, this is what's going on. And I go, it's not that great. It's not a great explanation, but whatever. We probably would take some points away from it, but it's not the worst explanation. Time travel is difficult, right? In this case, I felt like they were digging their own grave and going, oh, this is like how it works. And you go, no. If that's how it works, this means something else should happen. That's not what's happening. So I wasn't a fan of that point. Anyways, we'll move on. That's enough on that. Hey, everyone. Quick note. Hope you're all enjoying the podcast. Before we get back to it, would love to get some feedback from you for us. That's right. We're looking for reviews. If you could just give us 5 seconds of your time, hit the little stars in the app that you're listening to it on right now, or give us a thumbs up if you're listening to us on YouTube or one of the other platforms such as that. Anyways, appreciate you guys' time helping us out, helping you guys get more of this great content. Now, back to the show. Is there a huge chance of sacrifice if the hero does not achieve their goal?
Well, considering that Captain Marvel's goal is kind of just stopping Darben.
Yeah.
Like, considering that's her only goal, I guess in a way, yes, because if Darben wins, she destroys all the planets and people that Captain Marvel cares about.
I disagree. And the reason is because I just don't get the impression that Captain Marvel cares.
Okay.
Yes, she's doing the quote-unquote right thing, but at the end of the day, she's willing to say, oh, this is all the Kree we could save, or the Skrull we could save, sorry. Put him on the ship and let's ship out. That's it. And that's that. Rather than showing, and she does that again in the next planet, where they just abandon it, and she goes, okay, time to go. and she doesn't actually deal with.
Well, the second time wasn't her; it was Kamala. People.
That's true. That's true. Okay.
The second time wasn't her. But the second time she actually makes an effort to stay, and then Kamala hits the device, and they get sent to another planet.
True. That is true. But as a counter to that. As soon as they land that ship, which is like 2 seconds after they go through the portal, mm-hmm. what does she start talking about? She doesn't start talking about, no, I needed to save my husband. She goes, oh, I feel so guilty about this thing I did 20 years ago. So I felt like it wasn't even, like, her frustration wasn't even about the people she just left to die. Mm-hmm. It was about her own personal drama with something that with a genocide she committed 20 years ago rather than the genocide she committed 2 seconds ago.
So yeah, there was kind of, it was a very forced moment in the movie where it's like, suddenly she's like confessing this thing for no reason.
Right. Right. And there. For those like, who are listening, this is like 2/3 of the way through the movie. There's two planets that have been taken out by Barden, whatever, the bad girl. And they narrowly escape, and then she has this dramatic moment that now we're discussing where she talks about how she destroyed the Kree's brain god, and then
the Supreme Intelligence.
Yeah, the Supreme Intelligence, and then caused the entire Kree population to devolve into civil war, and she feels bad about that. So anyways, go ahead, Avalon.
So I mean, this is kind of jumping ahead to question 7 on the list, but like what ideal does Captain Marvel stand for? Like, when I was thinking about this question, the only one I could think of, based on the story and what happens and what she does and her reactions and everything, is they're kind of trying to make her stand for, like, maybe a form of penitence, or almost like she screwed up big time in the past, and so she's like, oh, she's like, the reason she's been gone from the Earth so long is she's trying to fix everything she did wrong the first time around, and it's almost like, and even her push to, like, save people is almost like, I need to fix what I did. I need to save the people because I failed the first time. Like, it's almost like this overachieving, like, arrogant, like, okay, I can't stop. I have to
keep going. Right.
Yeah. So it was like, almost like this moment was more or less reinforcing that ideal or something. It's like, oh, I'm, like, she stands for, like, penitence, like, trying to, like, make do right whatever she did wrong.
Interesting.
Not that it's done well, but that's like, sure. When I was thinking about this that question later, I was like, that's what I came up with. I was like, that's like, this is the only ideal I could see it fitting.
Yeah, save that. Actually, no, let's just go to that now. Sure, why not? I think it's an interesting take. I don't love it because I'm not sure what it terminates into, but I'm also not fully convinced that that's what she stands for. But here's the other thing, is that fundamentally, when you have three different characters who have different motivations for what they're doing, and they're all the main character, it's hard to see what the movie stands for or what one of them stands for if you're not developing them all fully in this movie. Mm-hmm. And I think Carol Danvers' character doesn't have that development that I would want to see initially to demonstrate that. I think the penitence thing is interesting, and maybe I guess the argument is that she has that because she's trying to prove that she can make up for the sins of the past, right? And then the scroll, she fails, and then with this other island planet, she fails, right? And she has to come to terms with the mistakes that she's made. But that goes down to, I guess, being loved or appreciated, which is maybe a more fundamental thing for her, is that she doesn't feel like she deserves the love of Monica, who's the daughter of her long lost best friend. I think you can make the case for that. I still have a problem with it, and fundamentally it's because it's TikTok emotions. The emotions in this movie are just 30 seconds of, oh, I feel bad. They get forgiven instantly, and they move on to the next exciting.
Well, it's like they get brushed under the rug and, like, forgotten till later on in the movie. But yeah, you're right. It's like, they don't spend time dealing with it. There's very few little, like, the conflicts and tensions don't really do much to stand between characters. Like, Monica's, like, anger, if you can call it that, Like, it comes out in the scene where it's like, okay, like, you didn't come back, but it's not really explained why she's super upset. Like, right. She didn't come back. And then it's kind of, like, forgotten. Or it's like, she kind of just acts like she's another person. Like, there's no, like, animosity really between them for most of the rest of the movie, even until the confession.
And that's the thing. Like, if you're supposed to build heightened tension in a movie to make people concerned about what's going to happen next, you can't just move past emotions. You have to sit in the emotions. You have to dwell in the bad pits of despair and deal with it. And they didn't do that in this movie. So, like, earlier on, like, you're exactly what you're saying, where she's frustrated with all that Captain Marvel has done for her and her family, just abandoned them after saying she loved them so much. And then they just say, oh, I'm so sorry, let's give you a hug, and then she feels better. And you go, okay, if you've been sitting and brooding on this for years and years and years, that's all it takes for you to feel better? No, if you really want people to feel heightened tension, that's where you go, that's not good enough. And she blows, or they don't even have that discussion that's explained. And here's the thing. Carol Danvers clearly had the motivations to have a more conflicted discussion there. So they don't resolve it there. They build the tension between the characters, and they come to this discussion right here where they're on this wheat planet and decide to have this discussion about Carol Danvers' experience on the Kree Empire and blowing up all of that and feeling guilty about that. And you know what you do then to make it better? You have even more division, right? She tries to make things right. She goes, okay, I had this experience. This is where I was gone. And then Monica says something like, that's not good enough. And then she leaves the group, right? Something like that. That causes increased tension. That causes a situation where things get even worse and they have to figure out how to resolve it to make the situation better. I think even that would have made the movie 10 times better than what it was. But because they resolved emotional situations so quickly, anytime they occurred, you never had to really feel like there was a problem going on in these people's lives and really had to empathize with them, because they would feel it and then move on and then feel it and then move on. And that was that.
Yeah.
Rant done. Anything else you wanted to add on that? I went on a bit.
No, I actually kind of agree with you on some of that points. Like, it is very quick how they deal with their emotions in this movie. There's not really a whole lot of, like, struggle between characters. Like, and I'll be honest, I mean, the only thing I disagree with you a little bit on that, as far as Monica, like, leaving like that, that only makes sense if we know what she's angry at Carol about. Like, if it's a legitimate reason. And I still don't think they give her a legitimate reason to be angry at Carol. Like, not really. It's just like, I don't know. And maybe it's just like, maybe they're going for the whole idea, like, oh, a kid, like, looking for their parent kind of thing. Like, you weren't there for me kind of thing, like, to help raise me, I guess. I don't know. But I don't know. It's like, it's one of those, like, maybe that's what they were going for. But I don't know. It wasn't, in my mind, it wasn't clearly laid out. It wasn't, that wasn't good enough.
In an ideal world where I have this hypothetical scenario, I develop Monica perfectly so that she has these issues built in. Anyways, all right. enough of that. What did you think of the villain?
So she was interesting. I mean, obviously we have trouble remembering her name, so she's obviously not that memorable as a character in some regards. She did have, I would say, a legitimate motive for a villain. Where it's like, she had something she was going for. She's like, her home planet was destroyed on a certain level, like, environmentally. So it's like, they had no ocean anymore. They had no sun. They had no certain resources they needed. So it's like, she was more or less going along this path because she's trying to restore her home planet. So now she is trying to hurt Carol Danvers in the process because she has a grudge against her. But I mean, and maybe, and that is kind of explained. It was like, she blames Captain Marvel for what happened. But I have conflicting thoughts on her, I guess, is what I think. Like, because she's kind of forgettable in some regards, but she's also interesting in others. It's probably my takeaway from her.
Yeah, she was one of these villains that I thought had potential, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she came from a interesting situation, right? She comes after the destruction of the robot god. I keep forgetting whatever it's called.
Oh, the Supreme Intelligence.
The Supreme Intelligence, right? So after the Supreme Intelligence dies, she's left with the wreckage, and clearly there was some civil war that went on as they tried to fight for resources and figure out what they were doing on Kree. And then she emerges from the top with this promise of bringing back survival to the people, right? Mm-hmm. And from that wreckage, you can feel a very palpable idea of that's a big thing to rise from. And so they had a lot of potential with this villain. I think that was the problem, was that was all that they had going for the villain. And this villain had a couple problems. One, in every other way, she felt stuck. The way she talked, yeah. The way that she interacted with people, the fact that she was able to fight all the people at the end, that she was this big person who was going to destroy everything at the very end of the movie, and how she makes a promise, oh, all right, I'll work with you to save my planet. And then the second she could turn her back and try to backstab him, she does. You know, every mm-hmm. single thing that you could think of as a villain who's stereotypical, she did every single one. So it was interesting because her backstory was could have made such a very, very interesting villain.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, she did give me some, I did give her some points, you know,
mm-hmm.
or a tenth of a point. but in every other way, it was very hard for me to go, okay, you're a great character, because you're not.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't play out the actions, after we know who you are, if you don't play out the actions that fulfill that calling that's been given to you as a character, then it doesn't matter what your backstory is. You wasted it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like she wasted it.
Anyways. Yeah, no, like, she was, if anything, she was unique in backstory, but stock in character.
Yeah.
That's probably the best way to describe her.
No, that's, I think that's perfect. Heightened tension. The hero was thrown from a bad situation to a worse situation with losses that cannot be reversed. What did you think of that? What did you give it?
Hang on, where am I?
We jumped around a little bit, so I skipped a few things. The big 2.5-pointer out of the 9 points.
Yeah, hang on, where am I? Oh, okay, here we go.
And if you're curious as an audience, we use the 9-point rating system. You can find it in the 9 points podcast episode, or you should be able to find it online, www.alostplot.com. You'll be able to see that as one of the resources there, /9 points, obviously. Anyways, go ahead. What did you think of them being able to ratchet up your emotions and feel like, oh, this just got worse now?
I'll be honest, like, and maybe it's because maybe the other thing that influenced my review of this movie was because I came in this movie with very, very low expectations.
that does help.
Yes. And the other thing is like, and maybe it's because Captain Marvel's the Superman of this universe, where it's like she's like invincible, unstoppable in some regards. So it's like, okay, like what are you going to do to make things hard for her? So I think in some regards, I wasn't expecting them to keep making her fail throughout the movie. Where it's like, if you look at the majority of the conflict she's in this movie, she's failing. Like, even though she's got all these powers and abilities, she can fly, she's invincible. It's like, she fails to save this Skrull homeworld. She fails to save her her husband's planet. Her quasi-husband planet. She's like, clearly she hasn't been there for Monica or something, like, is the idea. She hasn't, she failed in some regards to bring help the Kree earlier in the movie, like, before all this started. Like, her actions led to civil war, she realized. So it's almost like there's this idea where, like, she keeps losing, she keeps failing to win and to save everyone,
right?
And so in that regard, some of her words were consistent in some regards, especially if she is fighting like for penitence, or likes to like make do what was right. It was almost like, I gotta save them this time, I've gotta win this time, and she doesn't. I was curious, even though, like, this is a Marvel movie, I was almost probably like, are they gonna actually let her fail? Are they like, what's going to happen in this regard?
Right.
Like, so I mean, there was a curiosity, like, how are they going to play this out? Like, is this really going to end badly, or is this going to end well? Like, it's interesting, like how they've done it so far.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't give him a lot of points for this at all. I gave him, in fact, 0 points for this because, at the end of the day, I think all of the aspects of the movie are interrelated, and I just didn't feel like any of the motivations of Kamala, Monica, or Carol had anything to do with the planets they were saving. They were just, it was quote unquote the right thing to do, but at the end of the day, they didn't really care. Like Kamala only cared because she wanted to look good to Carol, to Captain Marvel, and to Monica. And
oh, like she's trying to be a superhero, but yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, and so she didn't actually care.
And I've also I was saying this mostly for the like Captain Marvel perspective. Like,
right.
Like really Kamala Khan and Monica Rambeau don't have a whole lot of stakes in the conflict until the final planet battle over Earth, where it's like Earth is now the planet that's at stake. So for them, like they're just following Captain Marvel around as she's trying to save these other planets. And you're right. I mean, there's an aspect where we're not given a whole lot of sympathy for some of these planets. Like, yeah, we didn't even talk about the second planet. I feel like maybe we should have. But
are we talking about the ocean planet with the singing and the dancing and the?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I was almost. Husband? I did make a note about that in the realism of the world kind of thing, because that planet kind of threw me for a loop. Where it's like, this is kind of, it's funny, but it's also kind
it
of
was funny,
realistic. It was just like, okay, they like kind of pulled me out of the movie for a minute. I was like, okay.
Right. And if anything, so the humor in this movie was actually excellent. Mm-hmm. It was genuinely funny at parts. Mm-hmm. I genuinely laughed, and it wasn't because they did something stupid or because it was slapstick, but it was because it organically came from the characters in a way that made sense. So mm-hmm. I thought the humor was great. But yeah, I would agree with that 100%. And then when they go, hold off the enemy for as long as you can, and then they say, like, you shall go no further, and then the first shot is fired, and they just jump out. I'm like, that wasn't holding them off for that long, but whatever.
I guess the first planet with the Skrulls kind of maybe follows from the first movie, where it's like, that would only hold weight if you'd seen Captain Marvel, or it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. If you had seen Captain Marvel, like she had saved them before, and it's like now they're telling her they don't need her anymore, and it's like she failed, like their planet's destroyed, like Valkyrie comes and takes them away to safety, but it's like,
right.
So I mean, I guess there's some emotional weight there where it's like the people that she saved the first time around say, tell her to her face, they don't need her anymore, but
right.
So in that regard, as a character, that's kind of a big loss, where it's like the people who you saved, like, flat out just say, hey, we don't want you anymore kind of thing.
Right.
The second one, like, they don't give a whole lot of character development, the singing planet. Despite how funny it was, there's absolutely very little development there. So it's very hard to care that she loses the planet, aside from the fact that it's the second time she loses in the movie.
Well, it's... I almost... I don't know if this is what they were trying to do or not, but I got the impression that they were trying to do a Star Wars thing where, you know how in Star Wars they'll introduce this new planet or this new species and the fans will just go nuts, you know, because they're like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. They talked about this in the books that I read when I was six, you know, they're just being silly and going off, and they were looking for that kind of fan base reaction. I felt like that was kind of what they were doing, this expanded universe kind of thing. But it was so just out there that I was like, this is, I don't even know how to take this. You know? I was like, it was fine. The other thing that really, I think, did not help with heightened tension was they made a Star Wars Episode 8 move. And they had a subplot that I still have no idea why it was there. And that was the whole giant space station blowing up in outer space in the middle of the movie. Like, I have no idea what relevance that had to the plotline at all, other than they wanted a giant herding cat scene. I genuinely don't know. Like, I genuinely don't know why that scene existed
in the movie. I'm gonna be honest, that was probably my favorite scene in the whole movie.
Oh, it was... It made was hilarious. No sense.
I mean, you had these, like, Flurkins, like, Monsters Cthulhu-like cats who looked cute but also terrifying, like, eating people and not exactly eating them, but it's like, putting them in their stomach for transport to Earth because they didn't have enough escape pods.
Since when do we just assume Flurkin barf people back up? I don't know. That was a big bet. If I was a person, I wouldn't want to get eaten. Yeah.
Well, and that's what makes the scene so much funnier. It's just like, it's clearly some of these people don't want to be eaten by Flurkins are running from the cats.
Yeah.
It's almost like, if it isn't for the, like, positive music and the, like, Welcome to Night Vale style announcer saying, don't run from the fur balls, let them eat you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, what about those two things? This is like a scene out of a horror movie, almost.
Yeah, literally. But it was funny. It was funny. I will admit that. But is it actually, did it actually add anything to the plot?
No, it did not.
I didn't think so. And it was, there was enough build up there that it was probably a good 20 minutes of the movie, of a, you know, hour, 45 minute movie. So you could have taken a good chunk out of that if you just got rid of that subplot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there was things like that they did. And then, like we discussed earlier, that really didn't help to heighten the tension in the movie. And also, as we've said before in the other movie, Captain Marvel is overpowered. She doesn't really have weaknesses. And they almost hinted at this too, that they could have had weaknesses because the armband was able to absorb power. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it seemed like it was taking power away from Carol Danvers. Mm-hmm. And then the enemy could use it against her, which was almost like, okay, so maybe if she did this enough, she could defeat Captain Marvel. And if she got both, she could maybe defeat Captain Marvel. But we never get to see that all in the movie, which is a huge wasted potential.
Which actually leads to one of another big gripe I have in the movie, but
I don't know which section. I was about to move on, so I don't know if you wanted to talk about Revelation or Transformation or what you were thinking of.
I mean, because there's two of these bands in the whole movie. They're called the Quantum Bands. Which is actually indirectly supposed to refer to another Marvel character who they haven't introduced yet, but that's beside the point. Anyways, there's two of them. Kamala has one. Dara has the other one, and like she's almost like, yeah, she's absorbing energy. She's almost unstoppable. But there's like Kamala has the other one this whole time, and there's a part of me that's almost like, wait, why isn't she like this powerful too? Like, why isn't there this, like,
there's
a part of me that was like thrown for a bit there. I was like, wait, hang on a minute, like, if they both have these armbands, like, technically Kamala should be on the same level as this other person then, technically,
right? Well, the fact
they don't explain that
that Dar-Ben or Bar-Den or whatever her name is could face 3v1 with this one armband, when one of those three people she's facing has the exact same armband just for the other arm.
I guess really she does have that hammer, but whatever.
But she didn't even have it in the fight. If you
that's
notice,
true. That's right. She doesn't have it.
Monica had the hammer, and she was trying to hit her with it.
Yeah.
So it was It was another scene that just I didn't think made sense.
So that was the first problem I had with the armbands. And then the second problem is with the revelation at the end, where she gets both of them, and she practically kills herself using them. Dar-Ben. Like, she disintegrates. I was just like, okay, why did she just die from using them? And minutes later, Kamala uses both of them and is able to use them perfectly fine, no repercussions to herself. Wait.
So Kamala actually puts them both on?
Yes. She, like, when they hit Monica with the powers and fully turn her into her superhero identity.
You're right. Oh my gosh. Like,
Carol shoots her with her power. Kamala hits the armbands together and shoots her with more power, and it's like And that's how she kind of becomes, I guess, was it Spectrum or whatever her superhero character is?
Oh, in yeah. The Marvel comics. And that's when she seals everything at the end of the movie. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, you're right. I think you're right.
Like, it was kind of out of nowhere, and it made no sense how those things added up.
Revelation. We kind of talked about this a little bit already, but was there... Well, actually, Transformation we talked about, but Revelation. Was there something that's revealed in the movie that changed everything?
Not really. I mean, you could arguably say that the revelation of the Kree... like, how Captain Marvel destroyed the Kree intelligence was maybe a revelation of, like, why she was away for so long or something, but that happened really early on in the movie. It didn't happen...
Right.
So it's just, like... We, as the audience, we learned about this like at the midway point,
right? So, and they even like... hinted at it from the beginning with calling her the yeah. Annihilator. Mm-hmm. So, you yeah. had it kind of floating in the back of your mind, anyways.
Yeah, it just was, it didn't feel like it changed much of anything. It just was like, oh, okay, like that happened,
right? No, I agree.
And as far as knockout surprise, the climax of the movie, unless you're caught up at the end credits scene, there really isn't like some, surprise climax ending. Like, it's just like Monica's like separates herself in an alternate universe to like seal it, and even though Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, rushes to save her, like it seals and she's stuck there, so Carol right. loses Monica. So
I think that's enough on that point. I agree. I don't think that they did well on that. There was no surprise ending, there was no revelation that really added to the movie at all, and that's mm-hmm. That's fine. Not every movie's going to have that. It adds to the movie. Worst case scenario, you lose a point for that. But because it failed at so many other points, they lost a lot of points. Anyways, Transformation. The main character, did she grow? Did they grow as a person?
I guess maybe Kamala changes as like she comes a little bit more mature, realizing maybe a little bit better what she's getting into. Like as, uh-huh. like as a superhero. I mean, she's still kind of the fangirl, like, oh, like, it's all so cool kind of stuff. But, like, she kind of sees, like, things a little differently
uh-huh.
at the end. So, I mean, in that regard, she does kind of change as a character. She does. Carol, maybe a little bit, where it's, like, maybe she realizes, comes to grips with the fact that she can't save everyone. But maybe? I didn't give them much points for this, but it was like, that was the only, like... character yeah. you really see between those two characters.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, I gave them a bit of points here, but I felt like it was a lot of fake development where they reconciled immediately, and it, like I said, it was back to those TikTok emotions. It happened in mm-hmm. 30 seconds and it was done. So
yeah.
Did the movie have a theme? Did you think it did?
Can't save everyone? I don't know. Like, I the movie has so much going on, it's like that's all I could come away with.
Can't save everyone. Well, you can't yeah. save every movie either, that's for sure. Yeah. All right. Yeah. The end. I think we're right at the end here, guys. Just hold out for the next 2 minutes. How did you feel about this movie? Satisfied? Unsatisfied?
Well, maybe because I went... No, not ready for the next one. It was more just, like, satisfied with what I got, but not, like, wanting... And admittedly, as I said, I came to this movie with very low expectations because Captain Marvel, the first time I saw the Captain Marvel movie years ago in theaters, was a big turnoff for me. It was like one of those few right. movies that like I just was not happy with how like I had such high expectations for it walking into that theater, and it was bombed like when I walked in. So like that left a sour taste in my mouth. And knowing that this was the direct sequel to Captain Marvel, I was like, I don't know what, like I had vague memories of that. But I was like, okay, I'm going to have really low expectations for this. So, right. I think in some regards, I was a little pleasantly surprised by some of it. I do like comedy, and there was a lot of really funny jokes in this movie, and I did have to give it points for the, even though it was unnecessary, the whole Flurkin cat thing in the space station thing. That was one of the funniest scenes I've seen in a while, for some reason.
Nice.
And so, I don't know. I had to give, so I was satisfied with some of the things I got out of this movie. I can't say I would want to see a second one. Like, I don't think I'd want to watch the next one, but
right.
I wasn't unsatisfied. I was like, okay.
Well, that was good.
That was a pleasant use of my time.
That's right.
Apparently not for you.
No, I mean, I was not satisfied, but I bet you could guess that from the way I talked this entire movie. So yeah, overall, did your opinion change? Is your rating the same? What are we at?
I'm actually looking at it right now because it definitely changed, but I have to recalculate the points now because I actually don't know what it changed to.
Well, I will say you did make some good points about the beginning. So you did bump it up a little bit. We're at a 0.7 instead of a 0.6. Yeah, it didn't affect a lot, but it did do something. So you made some good points. You did make some good points. And you honestly made more points on my side than I thought you would. So you were making points I didn't even think about. And
I don't know why I didn't think of the wormhole thing. Like, that was one thing I didn't even think about at all when I was ready making my review for this movie. And as you were talking about, I was like, oh, wait, shoot, that's a really big part of this movie. And I didn't even think about that in my review at all.
Well, and that's the big problem, is that it's a big part of the movie. It's not a small part. And so if you're going to have an instrument that's part of a movie, you really need to think it through. And I just don't think they did.
Okay, my final score is 4.2.
4.2, there you go. You still, that's a pretty significant drop from 5.7. So
yeah,
we'll,
that's way, we'll well over that. A point. I mean, I have to take away points because I realized there were some things I didn't calculate for. So I was like, oh, you're right. I didn't think of that.
Well, and that's what these are for, is that if I'm wrong, I'm going to revise things. If you're wrong, I'm just being willing to hear other opinions and take that into consideration whenever we're considering what makes a great story. So
yeah,
I appreciate you when you humor me on that, and I appreciate when you give me feedback that helps me to improve how I think about things. So
yeah.
But at the end of the day, Disney, you're trash. Get out of here. That's it. That's the pod. That's all we got for today. We hope you all enjoyed. You know what it is. We're back next week. See us next week. We will be there. So, peace.